Ministers need to become convinced that the best judges regarding the effectiveness of their sermons are their listeners. That's the key sentence for our SermonCoach.com podcast today. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're so glad you joined us. We're talking today with Dr. David Maynes, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, you've recently written yet another book, this one entitled The Sermon Sucking Black Hole. Was it written for people in the pulpit or people in the pews?
Well, that was a long discussion with the publisher, and the publisher felt because it was a book on sermons, it should be written to pastors, but pastors have so many books written for them that I felt that it should be written to the people in the pew. So it is obviously, as you get into it, written to the parishioner, not to the pastor. And the reason for that is because I believe that the parishioners are best able to evaluate the effectiveness of the sermons. Unfortunately, people, for the most part, are not convinced of this. So I say, who better can tell whether or not this sermon has value apart from the person listening to it? I mean, that's not that hard. Yeah, I can tell whether it has value or not. So the question is, how do you do that? So I'm trying to write in the book how to do that.
Do you know lay people who feel qualified to judge sermons?
I do know lay people who feel that way. I would say that you are one of them. I think I don't like that word you use, judge, because I'm not thinking so much of judging the sermon as evaluating and saying, I can tell whether or not this sermon has value to me. So there's no question about that. And I'm mostly now, I've reached my age, I'm mostly in the place of evaluating sermons as to whether or not they have value to me. I'm not as good at evaluating sermons because I've had so much background and I've preached so much that it's hard sometimes for me to tell whether that sermon is being effective to the average listener. And I don't see myself as a good sermon evaluator in that sense. But Dean, the truth is, you evaluate sermons all the time. You know whether a sermon has been of help to you or not. I know you do because we talk about it. And you know probably better, there's no question, you know better whether it's been of help to you than your minister knows whether it's been of help to you. And that's true of all the people in the pew or in the chairs listening. They know if this sermon is going to be transformational in terms of their life, whereas the minister doesn't always know. So the person listening is the best person to evaluate. That's what I think.
Well, given that you're right and that the people listening to the sermon can be the ones to best evaluate whether the sermon is helpful or useful or effective for them, do you know any of these people who will offer their opinion to their ministers?
Well, the answer to that is yes, I'm one. But the truth is, I have very seldom ever had a minister say to me, what did you think of what I preached? They just don't do that. You are a person who could do that. Have you ever had a minister ask you what you thought of what he or she preached?
Never, ever. Ever.
Never, ever. And now that's going to be the case with almost everyone. If a minister asked you, would you respond?
If I had the kind of relationship with the pastor where I felt there was a mutual trust, in a very private setting, if I felt that he or she genuinely wanted to know, I probably would share, but it would have to be in a very private setting. And in my own situation, I think it would be the rare pastor that I would feel completely comfortable sharing what I thought of that person's sermon.
Now, you have read my book, and I have understood people with feelings like you, and I've been very careful to say you need to be in a supportive role with your pastor. You need to be praying for your pastor. You need to build that relationship before you go in and just dump on the pastor.
Oh, absolutely.
So you have to be very careful in how you do this. But once you establish that relationship, you become an incredibly valuable person to that pastor. Once the pastor knows you're on his or her team and that you're wanting to be of help and that you have a perspective that he or she doesn't have, at that point in time, you are a resource that is worth everything in the world. Now, if you felt that, which is what you're kind of moving toward in the way you're talking, you would be able to be very valuable. And especially if you said, you know, I took what you said, I put it into practice, and it is really helping me. Thank you. That would make that minister's day. I mean, that would be beautiful. And even if you said, I think that if you had approached it a little bit differently, because let me tell you my situation, this may have been more helpful. All that begins the dialogue between the pulpit and the pew, which is incredibly beneficial to a minister. Now, ministers have to get past certain hang-ups, and parishioners have to get past their hang-ups. But once that has been established and the minister feels comfortable with it, at that point in time, it's a working relationship that is phenomenal and can go on not only after the sermon has been preached, but before and while the new sermon is being created. Somebody calls you on the phone. Dean, you gave me great feedback on the sermon last time. Here's where I'm going as a follow-up. What do you think of what I'm planning to say here? You'll give your opinion. Sometimes they use your thoughts and sometimes they don't. But they have you as that resource. And the big thing is to say, as a minister, am I communicating in such a way that I am seeing life change in my people and they are appreciating what I'm doing? Now, I would say the average person just coming cold to this topic is, I don't know how to judge the sermon. I don't know how to talk to my pastor. I've tried to solve all those problems. And the first one, saying you have to convince yourself that you know better than anyone else whether or not the sermon is beneficial to you. Not did you like it? Did you laugh at it? Did you find it interesting? Did it keep your attention? All those things should happen in some degree or another. But was it helpful to me and has it had an influence on making me a better follower of Jesus? You know the answer to that. Or is it something that you heard and then you never thought about it again? You know, the minister doesn't know, but you know. And the question is, how does the minister begin to access that information? And how do you establish a relationship so that the working relationship between the two of you is healthy and good? And at that point, I think the book solves a huge problem and brings a whole new life in terms of the church and the communication that goes on from the pulpit to the pew.
It's obvious that the book provides a lot of helpful information because just listening to you talk about it, I begin from a place of uncomfortableness with the whole idea of evaluating a pastor's sermon, but I become more comfortable as I hear you talk about it, and I'm sure in the book you've given even more information to help people. It does seem to me, though, that the pastor has to be a primary initiator of this relationship. The pastor has to seek the opinion. The pastor has to seek the help. Otherwise, that becomes more difficult.
I would say not seek, but be open to it. So if the pastor is open to it, that's a huge thing. It could be that the parishioner, if the relationship is right, can say, you know, when you preach that series, here's where I was helped and here's where I could have been helped more. Now, that kind of an approach is a very good approach. And I think that as long as you don't put the pastor on a defensive, in a defensive mode, then you got something good that is going. I think it's easier for a pastor to hear evaluation from a person who's not close in terms of profession. You know, if you're a school teacher, that may be harder. If you're a person who comes out of humility and said, I'm a new Christian, some things I didn't understand, it would help me if you could explain this. You don't want to threaten a pastor in any way. I think I wrote very well and covered all those areas. It's risky for the parishioner to go to the pastor, and it is risky for the pastor to go to the parishioner, but somehow that has to change, and there has to be that dialogue that goes on.
What kind of feedback are you getting about the book?
The only feedback I get is when people write something about it, and so far, all the feedback has been good. I haven't gotten a lot of letters. That makes me feel good. Have I solved the problem worldwide? No. Did I sense that the Lord was with me when I wrote it? Yeah, it took a long time. It took a long time to get a publisher because the publisher said again, what parishioner is going to read a book on how to have more effective sermons? And the truth is, most of the people who asked that question didn't read the book. So I'm kind of in a bind, but thank the Lord, there's a publisher, the book is available, and the feedback has been good. I haven't had anybody say that you should receive a national award for this book because it's been what we've been looking for all this time. I hope it's anecdotal enough that I keep people, it's not an academic book at all. It's basically saying, let's just get into the world of the pastor and the parishioner and let me show you how to break down some of these problems so there's a better working relationship.
Are you glad you wrote the book?
I am because, you know, you look at your life as you get older and you say there are certain things that are legacy, whether anybody thinks of that or not. For me, I said, this is something I have to write because I've had unique experiences and regardless of the reception, I've been obedient to the Lord. And in that sense, I'm very pleased that I did, and I think I did the best job I could.
If the book is basically for people in the pew, do you mind if ministers read it?
I would be thrilled if ministers read it. Whether they will, I think they will know that I love them when they read the book. They are not my primary target. I have worked with ministers all my life. I know how difficult it is to get ministers to change in terms of how they preach. I know that they can be very defensive. I know all of that. I'd be happy if they'd read it. I think if a minister reads the book, and numbers of them have, they will know that I love them. They will know that I'm not in any way negative about them. They will know that I understand their world, and they will know that I have done something in a very credible way that they will say, thank you, David, you've done something good here. I don't have any question about that. They're not going to say, that Mainz is my enemy. That's not going to happen.
Ministers need to become convinced that the best judges regarding the effectiveness of their sermons are their listeners.
Do you think they are?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think ministers are convinced of that?
That remains to be seen, but maybe this book and maybe this podcast will help.
Good.
Certainly hope so. And we're glad you joined us for our SermonCoach.com podcast. You found it at our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We hope you also took note of the resources we have there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.